Hello, friends. You're listening to our Mission Path. I'm Timothy Downing. Welcome to the fifth installment in the series Disciple. This is a product of the SETE, the seminary in Quito, Ecuador, and in conjunction with the Downing Family Ministry. If you'd like to know more about the SETE or the Downing Family Ministry, either way, please go to ourmissionpath.com. If you have any questions or comments over what you're about to learn, please email us at downing@ourmissionpath.com. That's downing@ourmissionpath.com. Previously in this series, we learned about the importance of vision, how important it is to have the vision that Jesus Christ has for His church. The scripture says that without a vision, the people perish. And this is a universal truth, that every institution, every group of people must have a vision or they'll disband. It's especially true in the church because Jesus Christ gives us the marching orders of the Great Commission. He gives us His vision for His church. And if we replace that vision with anything else, we're not a church, we're something less. The assurance that we go about in the Great Commission is that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus Christ. And so when we go about and complete the vision that Jesus has for us, it's not in our own power or in our own authority or even by our own plans. No, all of that is above our pay grade. We go out in the assurance that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus Christ, and that we go in that authority. Those who are to complete the Great Commission of Jesus Christ, well, who are to go? Every believer is to go. We're to pick up our cross daily and follow Him. And so the Great Commission for Jesus Christ is for all believers everywhere, every time, every epoch, every location. We don't have the option. As a follower of Christ, we follow in His mission, in His vision, in the Great Commission. What are we to do? Well, we are to engage. As a church, we are all to engage in this Great Commission. And that brings us to where we are today. Our Great Commission, our commission, and where we are to go. We ended last session with the idea that we in the church ought not devise ways to entice non-believers into our pews, but we should devise ways to get the church out of their pews and into the streets. And so today we're going to answer where it is we're to go, what it is we're to do. The Great Commission is as follows in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. All nations, did you get that? All nations is the field of concern for the Great Commission. It's the field of concern that the Great Commission gives to all Christians everywhere. I want you to remember something. The one who gave this Great Commission had no budget, had no building, no hymnal, nor theology textbook. Simply by His own authority, He sent out His original disciples, and He fully expects them to conquer the world. He expects nothing less from you and I, his current disciples. I find it very interesting that as Jesus stood outside Galilee on a hill with his disciples, he didn't leave them with a budget. He didn't leave them with a building, and he didn't leave them with a hymnology or theology or really anything but his marching orders and his expectation that they would fulfill them. We sometimes make excuses for ourselves not going into all the world or not having a world-size vision because we just don't have the budget for it. Well, that's not really a concern for Jesus. He sent his disciples into the world with nothing but the clothes on their back. And he sends us into the world with nothing but the clothes on our back and in his authority and under his great commission, we go and we give the gospel to a lost and a dying world. If we do not hold a world-size vision for our church and for ourselves, then the vision that we have is too small. You see, missions isn't that playground for eccentric Christians, or isn't the ministry for a few hyperactive Christians with a certain bent. No, missions, world missions, is the very purpose of the church and the commission of every believer. Now, dear friend, when I say it is the very purpose of the church, I understand that sometimes we have lesser visions and we even make ourselves a purpose for existing that is lesser than what Christ does. But the truth of the matter is that this vision that he has, this commission that he has, is the very purpose of our existence. You see, we are the body of Christ, the living, breathing body of Christ, the representation of him in this lost and dying world. And so we ought not have a purpose that is less than what he has. We ought not have a purpose that is less than his commission, this world vision we have. And this world vision is to go into all of the world, even the dangerous parts, even the parts that we don't necessarily want to go to. We are to go to all of the world. This is for every Christian everywhere. How do we motivate the entire church to have a world vision, the very vision that Jesus Christ had? Well, we must ask Christ to have a broken heart like he did for the lost and dying world. In other words, we must place in ourselves the eyes of Christ, the broken heart of Christ. When I say place in ourselves, I understand that it's not something that you and I can do on our own. In fact, this is what I suggest that you do, dear friend. Pray on a daily basis. Pray each day for a broken heart. Pray that God would break your heart for what breaks his heart. That's a very simple thing to do. I do that on my own prayer time, in my own life, but we also do that as a family, that we ask God to break our hearts for what breaks his hearts, that we would see this lost and dying world in the same way that he sees this lost and dying world. The second practice that I would encourage you to put into your life is to expose your family and yourself to Great Commission work. Do that on a regular basis. Don't just simply attend church and assume that you're following Christ. No, pick up your cross daily and follow him. Follow him where? Or into his mission. Go into his mission, which is really outside the four walls of the building that we built for ourselves. Do that with your family. When I was 14 years old, my grandmother had heard what I had said about the church. I told her, or I told my dad one time, I guess, probably, if I remember correctly, it was on a busy morning as we were getting ready to go to church, and nobody really wanted to get up, because even though everybody gets up at 6 o'clock every other day of the week, Sundays are sometimes hard to get up for. I don't know why. That's just my own family experience with my family here in Ecuador. But I remember sitting on the floor in my closet as my mom was picking out stuff for me to put on, because she didn't want her teenager to go to church looking horrible. And I said, I do not want to go to church. I love Jesus, but I am not going to church when I'm 18. I'm out of here. Well, shortly after that, my grandmother had heard those words. I don't know who ratted me out, but someone did. I'm glad they did. And she decided that she would take me on my first mission trip, and we would see the church through the eyes of missionaries. So at age 14, I went to Panama with my grandmother, Ruth Downing, and on a trip that was led by Romalee Covasir. Well, I enjoyed doing what we were doing in Panama. We were building a house for a Kuna Indian pastor. We were in the city of Colón, and we had a couple people that were close to my age that went with me, and we enjoyed just working, kind of working in the sun. I was with Les Bowers a lot of the time. I helped him build a wall. I will not tell you that wall was perfect, because a 14-year-old boy helped build it, but Les knew what he was doing. I was with Sonny Evick, and he took me and another young man my age on a vacation day during the whole trip. We actually went on the Panama Canal and fished. Great experiences. What I'm trying to say, though, is that even though those wonderful life-changing experiences occurred, there was one experience that went way above and beyond everything else that we did. One evening, Romalee Covasir was giving devotions. It was a twofer, because she was giving us a devotion, and then after her, the Kuna Indian pastor was going to give us a devotion. Now, she said some things, Romalee did, and I don't really recall what she said, but knowing her, it was important. She didn't say things that weren't important. After she was done, she had us listen to the Kuna Indian pastor, and he spoke in his native dialect, the Kuna dialect, and it was translated into Spanish, and then that was translated into English. So I'm pretty sure we got the gist of what he said, probably not the actual words of what he said. Doesn't matter, though. Don't remember what he said either. There was another voice that was speaking that night. And it was the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that the Holy Spirit was speaking to others that night as well, but he spoke to me. It was that night that I knew that I was going to go into the ministry, that I was going to fulfill the Great Commission in various ways. It was that night that I was called to be a missionary. That night only happened because I was in a place to allow that to happen. I'm quite sure that the Holy Spirit had spoken to me before about being in the ministry. But in the comfort of my own bed, or in the comfort of my own home, I didn't really hear him clearly. But that night, I heard him very clearly, because my grandmother chose to expose me to Great Commission work. Well, dear friends, I encourage you to expose your family to Great Commission work. Dads who are listening to my voice today, from my heart to your heart, let me tell you, this will make your family a better family for the experience, but it will make you a better dad because you are calling your family into something that the head of the church has called your family into. Missionary work, a world vision, the Great Commission. Friends, I want you to consider the wise words of Dr. James S. Stewart. He says, "The concern for world evangelism is not something tacked on to a man's personal Christianity, which he may take or leave as he chooses. It is rooted indefeasibly in the character of the God who has come to us in Christ Jesus. Thus, it can never be the province of a few enthusiasts, a sideline or specialty to those who have a bent that way. It is the distinctive mark of being a Christian." Friends, this is good theology. The distinctive mark of being a Christian is those disciples who daily pick up the cross of Jesus Christ and follow after him. This will take you places where you probably never saw yourself. Very rarely will picking up your cross and following after Jesus Christ take you to a place of comfort, a place of ease, a place of rest. No, picking up your cross and following Jesus means that you're following the itinerant homeless preacher, the God-man, Jesus Christ, into his mission. Now, he was going to the cross to save the world, and we are lifting the cross up so that the world may know. Now I want you to consider God's word. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's John 3:16-17, a very familiar passage. By the way, when your pastor preaches over familiar passages, pay attention. They're familiar because they're important. They're familiar because they're life-changing. We see in this scripture a very important truth. It is true that every individual Christian is called into the Great Commission. You can call that missions, if you will. And it is God's vision that the world through him might be saved. So how big is your personal vision? How big is your sphere of witness? How big is your church's vision? However expanding is their witness? See, the truth is, brothers and sisters, vision without action is simply an idea. Vision without action is simply an idea. The vision that Jesus Christ has is meant to be acted upon. It is every individual Christian's responsibility. It is your church's responsibility collectively to have a world vision, to consider their witness, your witness, a world witness. If you read through the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus always had the salvation of the world in mind. I want to remind you, he did not say that he was the light of Judea. No, he said he was the light of the world. His sacrifice on the cross and subsequent resurrection from the dead was not for a chosen few, but for whosoever will. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should have life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, dear friend, I encourage you to enlarge your vision. This is exactly what Christ's original disciples did. They proclaimed the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, where they lived. That's where they were most comfortable. And some would have said that's enough. After all, Jerusalem was a metropolitan area. It's a big city. There are people from all over the world. And so if you minister there, you're going to reach the world eventually because people from all around the world are coming there. But that wasn't enough. They proclaimed that very same gospel of Jesus Christ in Judea, where they were very comfortable. They shared the same history with the Judeans. In fact, up until the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they did share the same religion with the Judeans. Not only was it the same religion, but Christianity was the fulfillment of the Jewish religion. Still is the fulfillment of the Jewish religion. And so they had a lot in common with the people who lived in Judea. They ate the same foods. They thought the same thoughts. They lived under the same political reality, the occupation of Rome. They had a lot in common. And they went to Judea. And some would have said that was enough. But not for the disciples. They crossed a very uncomfortable border and they went to Samaria. They were hesitant to go. If you read through the scripture, you see that very clearly, that they were very hesitant to go to Judea. In fact, Peter, when he went to the Gentiles, not even in Judea, but just went to the Gentiles, he had to make an apology to the church. An apology not saying, I'm sorry, an apology explaining why he did it. Because the Holy Spirit told him to do it. Do not call unclean what I have called clean. And so, to go beyond Judea in the early church, amongst the early disciples, was kind of a radical idea. And they went to Samaria anyway. And eventually they went to the ends of the earth, from which most did not return. This was their vision. This is the natural vision of Jesus Christ, the natural outworking of the vision of Jesus Christ. You start where you are. Your Jerusalem is where you live. You go to where you're comfortable. That's your second sphere of witness. And that sphere of witness really isn't a very difficult thing to do, to be honest. It's where you're comfortable. You speak the same language. You have the same history. You eat the same food, that sort of thing. Then, though, you are to intentionally go to where you're hesitant, to Samaria. And as your ever-expanding vision or your ever-expanding sphere of witness naturally fulfills itself, you'll find yourself with a great commission mindset, and you'll have a vision for the entire world. You'll go to the ends of the earth, or you'll send people to the ends of the earth. It's our responsibility to reach to the ends of the earth. By the way, some will say, if you can't go in person, go in purse. And that's a good idea, but go in person if you can, because that is what the Great Commission is. Remember, I told you that the original disciples did not have a luxury of a budget or a building or a hymnal or theology book. No, what they had was the commission to go into the ends of the earth, and they went. You have that commission too, dear friend. Go to the ends of the earth if at all possible. And where it is not possible to go on yourself, and I mean possible to go by yourself, not if you don't want to go, but if it's not possible for you to go, then send somebody in your stead. So this brings up a question that was asked me a while back, not related to this study, this series or anything, but a question a while back, and it was, do missionaries retire? Well, no, because missionaries don't have a job. They have a commission. and you never retire your commission. Now, you may serve your entire life in a foreign land as a missionary and then end up coming to the sending country that sent you, the country that sent you, and living out the rest of your days there. But you're still on commission. You never retire. And those who take the Great Commission seriously are always on commission. Even in the hospital room, where you only have a nurse and a doctor, you have a captive audience. You see, they have to pay attention to you. And you can give the gospel of Jesus Christ to them because you are on commission for Him. You're in His commission. This commission, to answer the question of where we are to fulfill this commission, it's ever expanding. It's always expanding. There are 90% of the missionaries around that go to reached people groups. They're already reached. That's what that Angelita and I are doing right now. I'm the director of a seminary in Quito, Ecuador. And so I'm preparing people in Ecuador to go out into all the world. But we're mainly reaching people who've been reached. We're training people who've been reached. But on occasion, we get to go to places that have not been reached, and we give the gospel there. And that's a joy, and that's a wonderful thing. But I want you to know it's an ever-expanding ministry. If the vision of Jesus Christ is fulfilled in the way that He has encouraged us to do, commanded us to do, then it will be ever-expanding. Now, how does the enemy of our soul rebel against the ever-expanding vision of the followers of Jesus Christ? Well, Satan attempts to focus us on our own struggles, on our own survival. Satan is constantly trying to turn our attention into smaller things. He wants us to focus on lesser visions. He wants us to focus on lesser commissions, on lesser purposes. He seeks to shrink our vision into something institutional or traditional or political or even personal. We see this in the very reaction of the original disciples to the Great Commission. The Great Commission is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. It's found in every single gospel plus the book of Acts. And then, of course, it's lived out through the rest of the Bible. Matthew and Mark are similar in wording. Luke and John are kind of smaller in wording. I love the way it is in John, in John 20:21, "As the Father has sent me, I send you." But then in the book of Acts, we read kind of a different idea of the Great Commission. The words were still there, I'm sure, but what Luke focuses on in the book of Acts is the ever-expanding spheres of witness, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But he also focuses on the promise that Jesus Christ gave to His disciples, that they would receive the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And upon receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit, the disciples immediately had focused on something smaller. You see, Jesus had this idea that they will be His witnesses in the entire world. But the disciples focused on smaller things. So upon the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, you know, that not many days from now, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And immediately, on the heels of this promise of the Holy Spirit, the disciples focused on something smaller. Is it at this time that the Father will restore to Israel what is properly theirs? In other words, will we be special again? Jesus had world conquest on the mind, and the disciples had a smaller vision. How about Palestine? How about Jerusalem? What about those? Well, dear friends, we should learn from their mistake. The vision of Jesus Christ is bigger than our political realities. It's bigger than our traditions. It's bigger than our institutions. It's bigger than the survival of our local church even. No, the vision of Jesus Christ is to go into all the world. We learned earlier that where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, to add to that, to add to what we already know, when the vision is too small, the people become frustrated, disillusioned, non-productive. When we reject Christ's overwhelming vision to reach the world and accept Satan's underwhelming vision, well, we focus on smaller things. We can't help but to become hollow. So my question to you today, friend, is this. Which vision has your attention? Is it the Savior's commission by which you will actually impact the world, or is it Satan's vision, which leaves billions of people to perish without the hope that you have living inside of you, the hope that you have already found? The world is literally dying for each believer of Jesus Christ to focus on and honor the commission that Jesus Christ has given us. Go reach the world. Go into all the world. Well, dear friends, my family and I serve Jesus Christ in Ecuador. If you'd like to know more about our ministry here, please go to ourmissionpath.com. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you for walking along the mission path with us.